Your next piece of equipment is on MachineryPete.com. Search equipment from dealerships across the country to find what you're looking for. Only on MachineryPete.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. John Harris, who is the news director for Farm Journal, has been sending me messages about the Mueller comments.
Yeah.
And Davis, he did emphasize that Mueller emphasized that if they had found that there was evidence that the president did not commit a crime, they would have said so. So,
okay.
It'll continue after this.
That kind of hurt my head just a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, surprise, surprise. This is going to continue. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. let's get into something that has nothing to do with crops. I shouldn't say nothing to do with crops, but little to do with crops. It's another challenge that we are facing around the world, and that is African swine fever in Asia and the market opportunities that it might bring to us here in the U.S. The U.S. Meat Export Federation wrapped up its spring conference on Friday with a panel on trade implications from African swine fever. And Aaron Bohrer, an economist there at USMEF, was sitting on that panel. And Aaron joins us right now. Aaron, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
Good. How are you? Good morning.
Doing just fine. Just fine. How was the meeting in Kansas City last week?
It was good. Obviously, a lot of dynamics, so yeah. No shortage of conversations in the halls and in the meetings, and it was busy, but everyone seemed to be upbeat despite many challenges in the countryside and many fields that are yet to be planted.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, there were the other participants in the panel, Dr. Dave Pyburn, who is the Senior Vice President for Science and Technology at the National Pork Board, and Joel Haggard, USMEF Senior VP for Asia Pacific, were also on there. And Joel said something in the comments that I read after it. And we always talk about how big that the Chinese hog herd is, Aaron. But when he said there's 25 million hog producers in China, that's one of those things that just kind of make you shake your head like, oh, my gosh, that is an incredible. No wonder why it is so hard to get a handle on what is going on over there.
Exactly. It kind of sums it up.
Yes, it really does. So tell me, what is going on over there?
Right. Well, Dr. Pyburn said that he was looking to me to have the answers on the future in that panel. And so I started my segment saying, sorry, I clearly cannot tell you the future. And yes, I mean, that's a lot of the challenge. Good analysis requires good, rigorous data and information. And we have boots on the ground every day there in Beijing and Shanghai and Hong Kong, where Joel is located. And so we're getting constant information. And, I mean, that's the key for us, is just kind of balancing a variety of sources. But it is impossible. I was in Shanghai before our board meeting with Joel and our China team. We did a big Traders Club event. And I talked to a lot of the key players there. And, I mean, even the big players in China are trying to get their heads around this. So that tells you that, you know, sitting here, obviously, we really don't know. Even those with big skin in the game are trying to understand. And yes, it's complex. I mean, I think a few things I walked away from there with was the impact on consumption, which is very difficult to measure and understand. But anecdotally, virtually everyone was saying Chinese consumption of pork is down maybe 20% to 30%, so huge. So that helps you kind of put into context. We know the losses are significant, dramatic, terrible, but you're also seeing this offset by a decrease in consumption or demand, and that's, we think, part of the reason why you've seen kind of China's Chinese hog prices and pork prices kind of stabilized for the last, you know, basically 2 months.
Right.
And there's also just the fact that freezers are full, and that was another unanimous comment. Inventories in cold storage are large, and capacity is, they're at capacity. So part of what we assume needs to happen is prices in the wholesale market in China for pork are going to have to break or possibly move lower to move product out, because we know there's huge shipments on the water from our competitors from Europe and Canada and Brazil. So to be able to move that product in. And so it's, I think that's part of why markets everywhere are trying to take a breath and see what's, because the shortage in meat in China is still looming. I mean, it's still out there, but it's yet to actually hit.
Exactly. Okay. A couple of things that I want to follow up on here. You said the big players in China. First, real quick, explain what that big player in China is, what they do, and what are they doing to prepare for that meat shortage that is coming?
Well, so we have really the whole range of folks at our event. So from those involved even on the hog side in China to, of course, the big buyers of imported products. And our event was right on the sidelines of Sial Shanghai, their huge trade show, which was just crazy. Of course, our booth was beautiful and well attended, but everyone was expecting a U.S.-China trade agreement the Friday before, and we went backwards. So the Europeans and the South Americans and the Australians were just getting run over. I mean, it was totally crazy, because of course the beef buying and all the substitute meat products, beef being the biggest because China's still out pretty restricted poultry imports. Those folks are also hedging on this looming shortage. It's the who's who in the China meat trade, and we just talk to as many people as we can, and again, that includes some in the domestic Chinese industry and those buying a lot of South American beef, for example. Everyone is trying to hedge against this, but still guessing pricing, a lot of high priced product in inventory.
Right.
So you're going to have to free up cash flow.
Interesting. Okay. 25 to 30% drop in pork consumption in China right now. Is that coming back?
Well, and this is where I think it's interesting, because right now what I think we're seeing is the demand impact, as in, I don't know what this African swine fever thing is. I think it's also been a little bit, the messaging is tricky, right? Because we don't want the infected meat in the food supply because we don't want it fed back to pigs.
Right.
As a consumer, you're thinking, well, why would I eat that? So it's perfectly safe. It's not going to hurt us. But you can see where the messaging is a little bit confusing, because the Chinese government's trying to test and remove this infected product so it doesn't go back in the pig supply,
right?
And continue spreading the disease. But so I think that's where consumers are just kind of eat. And then another big switch is that your schools, your canteens, your factory feeding, a lot of them we know switched immediately to poultry. I mean, the cheapest, most perfect substitute for pork, there is none.
Yep.
But if you have to, that's what it is. And so we know a lot of that has happened, and how much Chinese poultry production can grow in the short run is a whole nother factor, because they have limited grandparent flock imports from the U.S. Their yellow birds, I understand, which is about half of their production, they can ramp that up fairly quickly. And then the white birds, which is a better substitute for pork in processing materials, is going to take a bit more time. It's kind of poultry and eggs being substituted for pork. And then longer term, what happens? I think that's where you get into more of a price, i.e. supply limitation.
Right.
So,
I've only got about a minute left here, Aaron. I got to ask you about what your price expectations here are. I know that you're looking for record levels of global pork trade in the year and years ahead, but what's that mean for prices here in the U.S.?
Yep. Well, I mean, you've seen our board trying to guess it. So we know that our summer, now we're in summer, our summer contracts were over $100 a hundredweight. Now we're back, in the low 80s? And so the market's clearly grappling with this, and I think watching your deferred contracts, because 2020 is probably where the bigger game is and possibly the out years. That's where the market's going to have to try to factor in. But right now, the market's saying keep expanding, right, here in the U.S. Yeah. So in a sense, this is more and more meaning that we need China to take the product, because the rest of the world has been buying strong, but it requires China moving huge volumes out of the U.S. to support higher price levels, because we have a lot of pork coming at us here in the States. And right now the market's saying keep on keeping on.
Yep. Yep. Aaron, 10 seconds on this one. How long are we going to feel the influence of ASF in China?
That was my question for Dr. Piper. Man, this disease sounds like a different one. I mean, China typically rebounds super fast. Crisis equals opportunity. You can make a buck, you're back in hogs. But the rebreaks, right, and the challenges with refilling barns might make this a longer-term game and hit their productivity for many years to go.
Aaron, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Aaron Bohr from USMEF.